Yeah, it might be in the folder. Or in the file cabinet.
It's in one of the books. I can't remember. Here's one of the songs you did find that's in order.
Right.
I remember
writing
it.
They kind
of do that in state court.
Ah, boy.
And you can put it in there.
We did the sign yesterday.
Did you? Bigger?
I outlined it with white.
Yeah.
It was a job.
Yeah.
I took a little artist brush.
Right.
And went around with the letters.
Yeah.
White. Now you can see it good.
Yeah.
Hey, don't show my mistakes too bad. He's a
I mean, even if it gets pulled off, they'll still have a copy of it.
She ran out
of it. Unless you're a Clinton.
She ran out last week.
Then it's gone. So we can pull it up. I don't know how that works.
She came home this Monday.
Did it work? Did it work?
Yeah. Right.
She's been telling me that she's okay, so.
Yeah.
Still.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody, and it's good to be back in the Lord's house. And let's go ahead and stand and turn to page 30. Nothing but the blood.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon is I see nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing is my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone.
nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Let's go in, Lord, in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good to be back in your house again tonight, or again this morning, Lord, and just be with the ones that's not here, and let them be on YouTube, or just keep them safe on the roads when we got plenty going, Lord, and just and bring them back next point in time, Lord, and just thank you for this weather you've given us, and just thank you for the preacher, Lord, and just touch his heart this morning, and let him preach your word, Lord, and just let everybody take it into heart, Lord, and just not in their ears, just in their heart, Lord, and just ones that's maybe not right or just not saved, Lord, just let them listen to the word, and just where to prick their heart, Lord, and just thank you for everything you do for us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all may be seated. Let's turn to page 185. My Savior's Love, 185. In the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he can love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden he breathed out my will, but now he had no fears for his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my hands and my sorrows, he made him his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with our ransom and glory his face I last shall see, I wake my joy in the ages to King of his love for me. Oh, how marvelous. His love for me. Amen.
Amen. It sure is a blessing to be here today. Got several that were missing. Some I knew, some I didn't know. But it is good to see everyone here. And with that, I do have the new February calendars out. I'm not going to sing today. I know we've got an anniversary this week, and they're not here. And we've got birthday, Sister Hazel's birthday is on Tuesday. And I know you say, preacher, we send them the CDs, and they're online. It's okay that we'll get them in person sometime. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you doing? I'm just changing. Amen. Some of this is the fact that we're back in church. Amen. And we are. And listen, I'm thankful. Listen, you got COVID exposure, stay home. And don't share it with the church. But in the same sense, we're back to church, and I'm thankful for what God's doing and the safety He's given us. I do ask you to keep those in prayer. I haven't seen Brother John Ridings on for the last couple of weeks. I'll get him emailed this week, check on him, make sure they're okay. And I do want you to pray for Brother Duke and Sister Dolly. They, from what I understand, they've both had the COVID and recovering from it, and it is definitely taking a toll. So do pray for them through that recovery process. And then not Brother Michael Duke, the Dukes, James and Dolly Dukes. Do pray for them. He was
from Baker, and his wife had it too.
Really?
Earlier, way
yeah.
back.
Amen. She's got it now. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I know, I don't know how many remember the kids on the bus, but Bailey and Connor and Madison, their dad works with Jacob, and he had it early last year. And he said he still can't smell. So it's
Brother Dukes is like that. He's,
yeah.
he's very weak.
Yeah.
And didn't say eating, couldn't smell and eat and all that.
So do keep them in prayer. Keep praying for the church. We are at 147 subscribers on YouTube. I figured out what we need to do. If you notice these big channels, it's because they have giveaways. They do. I mean, really, it's like, you know, we'll put it, and hold on, it's going to be in the comment block. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how in the world to get there. I don't even know how to put it on there. Amen. I'm thankful we get online. But nonetheless, we have a giveaway every service. We're giving away eternal life, and it's free for all who want to come. Amen. Everyone can have it. And so we've got the best giveaway that you can. They can't even tax you for it yet. Amen. But no, nonetheless, continue to promote it. Let others know. We still need a lot of subscribers so that we can just go live and not have to worry about going through a third party. Had a lot of fits with it, and I'm thankful God allows us to figure them out so that we can keep going and have it online. And you say, preacher, there's glitches. Well, I haven't found anything in life that there's not. And we're just going to keep relying on the Lord, keep going, and keep promoting the services. Amen. Well, pray for those that are missing, and pray for those that are not well. Yes, ma'am. That's Wednesday night. She doesn't need prayer until Wednesday. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yeah, they are. And I don't know how many have kept up with this, and I don't want to chase this rabbit too far, but understand that it's already mutating. And I know they're saying right now that, well, this vaccine's going to cover the mutations of it. Well, that's fine and dandy, but it's funny that you have a different flu vaccine every year. Just thought. And, you know, I hate to say that we have a government that lies to us, but they only tell you what they want you to know. And we don't really know all the details of what's going on, period. So just be wise, be safe. God's protecting us and not the government. Amen. He's the one that gives the protection. And so just be wise with it. It's not something to laugh about. It's not something that's in non-existent. It's not an imagination. It is real. It is out there. But so is the flu. and so sickness and so, you know, pestilence has been around forever. And God's still protected through that. And so we're just going to keep on going. And you say, preacher, when are we opening everything up? Well, I didn't say that we're opening up the floodgates. But we are going to be wise with it, and we are going to continue to serve the Lord as we can. Amen. And we'll just rejoice in Him. Amen. Brother, you got a song?
Yes, sir. For those who have prayer books, page number 24. He's in the midst. 24. You know, we face a lot of adversity in this life here on here earth. But God hasn't changed.
Right.
He's still taking care of us, no matter what it is today. Everybody got it? It's 24, 25.
As you travel down life's road, He is with you every day. With every step you take, He walks ahead of you. And every night that you lay down, angels are camping all around. You'll never be alone, He is in the midst. He's in the midst of our soul. He's in the valleys we walk through. Where two or three are gathered in His name, He'll be there too. And when you feel so all alone, He is standing next to you. He's with us now. Our Lord, He's in the midst.
I can't read
myself. Into the prison they were thrown. Paul and Silas weren't alone. They knew their God was there, and He would see them through. When the walls began to shake, and all their chains just fell away, they cried, behold our God, for He is in the midst. He's in the midst of our storm, in the valley we walk through. Where two or three are gathered in His name, He'll be there too. When you feel so all alone, He is standing next to you. He's with us now. Our Lord is in the midst. He's with us now. Our Lord is in the midst.
Amen.
Well, let's stand and turn to page 288. I am resolved.
Amen. Amen. I like that song.
Amen.
I like that song.
Me too, brother. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true One, He is the just One, He hath the words of life. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I Savior, faithful and true each day. He what he saith, do what he will, and he is a living way. The valiant free, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Well, blessing to be here today. Hope you came looking for a blessing. The Lord's always faithful, even when we're not. Amen. And He always blesses in spite of us. Brother Ray Brown I'd asked him one time, I said, how are you doing? And he said, I'm blessed in spite of myself. Amen. That's really how we all are, is blessed in spite of ourselves. Now, I'm thankful God reigns on the just and the unjust, but His Son also shines on the just and the unjust. Amen. Sometimes that sun is scorching, and it's not always a blessing. Amen. And I know we always look, and especially this time of the year, it's nice to see the sun. But, you know, there's some times we're getting ready to have some rain this afternoon. It's not always a blessing. I'm not needing it to rain right now. I don't want it to rain right now. But nonetheless, we're going to get some rain. And so it's not always a blessing, but there's some times that we're parched. Amen? There's some times that we're cold. And so I'm thankful God knows exactly what we need, when we need it, always provides it so faithfully and so true. Amen. Psalm 56. Now, I'd intended on preaching this last Sunday night, and we didn't, because I didn't get done with Sunday mornings, and so I preached it Sunday night. And so I'd like to share this with you, and we're just going to see where it goes today. But God had, I guess it was week before last now, God had really spoke to my heart through this psalm, and I would, just knowing God, I believe that He'll do the same thing again today. Amen. He'll continue to speak to hearts through His Word. Psalm 56, if you're there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 56, verse number 1. Psalm 56 and verse number 1. The Bible says, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. For they gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger hast cast down the people, O God. Verse number 8, Thou tellest my wanderings, put Thou my tears into Thy bottle. Are they not in Thy book? When I cry unto Thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee. For Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not Thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You today for meeting with us. Lord, I know that we've got several that are out. And Lord, nonetheless, this Father, we need to hear from You. It doesn't matter who's not here. It's the fact that we are here. And Lord, we need You to meet with us. We need You to be in the midst. We just sang just a few moments ago. And Lord, there's definitely some trials. There's definitely some struggles going on in life. And Lord, we're discussing, we're looking at our spiritual victory. And Lord, we know we can't have that without You. And so, Father, I pray You'd meet with us this morning. I pray that You would encourage hearts and minds, Lord. I pray, Father, as well, that You would direct steps. I pray, Father, that You would just have Your will and way in the service. But, Lord, I pray that we just finished singing, I Am Resolved. Lord, I pray we'd go ahead and make some decisions today. Go ahead and sell out and make a decision that we're just going to serve You no matter what goes on. Lord, no matter what's taking place. And, Father, I pray that Your will be done. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We look at this passage of Scripture. And as we come here today, we're reminded that we don't have to be defeated. Now, I'm talking about any time. We don't have to live in defeat. We don't have to live in discouragement. We don't have to live in fear. Now, I bring up fear for the idea that if you would go back to Joshua and look, now don't physically turn there, but if we'd go back to Joshua or even into the book of Deuteronomy and Numbers, and we see there where the children of Israel did not go into spiritual victory, when at Kadesh Barnea in the book of Numbers, they had the opportunity. What was it that kept them out? Fear. They were afraid that God wouldn't do what He said He would do. And boy, I'm thankful for a God that says what He's going to really do. Wouldn't that be great today if everyone really did what they said they were going to do? I mean, I'm not talking about politics. I'm just talking about in general. I mean, really, there's plenty of other liars that aren't in politics. Amen. And so, if we really had that idea in that place that God does what He says He's going to do, we have no fear. Honestly, we'd have no reason not to follow Him. I can think of Jeremiah as he gets out of the truck sometimes as we're out there at the farm. He wears mud boots. That is his apparel out there. And you say, preacher, why don't you let him wear shoes? Well, they are shoes, but they just need to be mud boots, because otherwise you wouldn't find his shoes. At least the mud boots, you have something to grab a hold of to pull them out when he loses them. But we don't let him wear them inside the truck. We take them off when he gets up there to the seat. He knows. He sits there and he waits, and we yank him off and we set him in the back seat back there on the floorboard. And then he climbs over and he gets in his car seat. And then when he's coming out, he sits there and he's waiting for you to put his boots on, and you put those boots on there. And may I tell you, it's kind of hard because he wants to kind of slide back when you're trying to shove that mud boot on there. And you get that on and you give him your hand, and it's a long drop for him to jump out. And he's kind of hesitant sometimes. And he wants to make sure that you got a hold of him good before he'll ever jump all the way out, because he's going to come all the way. He's not going to hit the running board. He's not going to take a step. And so I'm reminded that we can easily follow the Lord when we know that He's got His hand on us and our hands in His. And we can take that step, and we don't have to have that fear of what might happen when we follow Him, because He's always consistent. May I tell you that we have a real refuge in the Lord. I look at verse number 13, and it warms my heart. And I know that this is a question. I know that verse number 13, the psalmist here is David. I know that he's asking the question, but I look at it more as a question, not looking for an answer. And I'm not talking a rhetorical question, but in fact, a question that he already knows the answer because of the first part of the question. He says, "For Thou hast delivered my soul from death." Now, that's the first part of this sentence, if you would. It just happens to be a question. He's not asking a question there. He says, look, I'm already secured. You've already delivered me from death. Now, I'm not talking about the death or the fleshly death, but a spiritual death. He already knows that he's going to have everlasting life in Christ, even though Christ hasn't came yet. Amen. He had already put his faith in God, that God's sending the Messiah, and it's through the Messiah that he can even be saved. I'm telling you, Adam and Eve were saved no different than we are today. It's just that they had to look towards the cross. Today we look back. Amen. And so David was no different. He said, look, I already have a real refuge. I already have a real place to go, because You've delivered my soul from death. And he goes on, and he's really asking himself more than he is God, or he's reminding himself, wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? He said, look, you've already delivered me from death. Of course you're going to deliver me from anything else that's going to come my way because you're for me. There's a passage of Scripture that we find right here in verse number 9. He says, for God is for me. Isn't it good to be on the right team? Isn't it good to be on the Lord's team? I think about Joshua, and I want to preach it here in a few weeks, but I think about Joshua in chapter number 5 when the captain of the Lord of hosts comes. And Joshua just simply asked him, when he sees this man with his sword and his sword drawn, and he's intimidating, no doubt, and Joshua comes up to him and he goes, are you for us or are you for them? And he goes, nay, but I come in the name of the Lord, the captain of the Lord of hosts. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm thankful that it's not the fact that God's on my side, but that I'm on His. Amen. Because I know that I have victory, because I know in whom I have believed. I know in the one that I'm confident in. I'm not confident in myself. I'm confident in Him. And so I find here David, as he pens down this psalm, he's penned it down when he fled to Gath from Saul. You say, preacher, why in the world? Well, I don't know, but we're the same way. Now, I'd like to remind you of Gath. And some of you might be scratching your head trying to... I know I've heard of Gath. I know that that name sounds familiar. I'd like to remind you of a man by the name of Goliath. It's always attached after Goliath's name, Goliath of Gath. He was a Philistine. Gath is an area in Philistines, or in Philistia. And so this area of the Philistines is where he had fled. And we have this record of David through the Bible that it tells us that he's a man after God's own heart. I would be okay with that title. I would love God to be able to say that I'm a man after God's own heart. And the great victory of faith that David has. I'm telling you, David was a mighty warrior for God. He served the Lord. He had faith in God. He knew... He trusted God as a young boy. As the Bible calls him a lad. But yet, he had faith that God could do anything. He defeated Goliath. Some would say by a stone, but he didn't defeat him by a stone. He defeated him by faith. If you remember that when David went to fight Goliath, the entire army of Israel was hiding. They were all scared. They were all in such great fear that what do I do? Here's this giant that we cannot defeat. Here's this giant that... Now, remember the proposition there was, we're going to send out our warrior and you send out your warrior, and whoever wins becomes victorious and the loser becomes enslaved to the winner. And Goliath steps on the scene, 9'6", whatever he was, steps on the scene, and all of Israel scatters. And they're like, ooh, I can't defeat him. And here comes young David up on the scene. And David is a young shepherd boy. His father Jesse had sent him to the battle. And he says, I want you to go check on your brothers. And he went and he checked on his brothers. And he hears Goliath cursing God. And David says, that's my God. That's a whole other sermon, is it not? That we need to come to that place where we get upset when someone's cursing our God and go, hold on a second, that's my God. Amen. And David goes to the men and says, is there not a cause? He goes before Saul and he says, Saul, I'll fight him. And Saul tries to put him on with his own armor. And David says, I can't wear that armor. I've never proved it. And he goes out, and the Bible tells us that he got 5 smooth stones from the brook. And he gets these 5 stones, and he puts them in, and he's going to go face Goliath with a slingshot. And if you remember that he said that the battle is not mine, but it's the Lord's. You know the problem is we forget the battle's not mine, it's the Lord's. When David went, he went in faith that God was going to do it. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they went into the fiery furnace. They said, God's able, but if not, we're still not going to bow down. Not if God's not able. It's the fact that even if God doesn't deliver us, oh, He's able to, but even if He doesn't, we're still not bowing down. David didn't know he was going to be victorious. You say, preacher, but he had faith in God. He didn't know he was going to be victorious. He knew that God would take care of whatever needed to be taken care of. You see, there's a difference. Sometimes we want to know the outcome before we ever take the step. That's not what David did. And with David, as he had went there, and he went in faith. Now, I'm talking about the record that we have of David. Saul wouldn't go fight Goliath. With all of Saul's army, he wouldn't go fight Goliath. But David went in faith. But when David goes to flee from Saul, he goes to the priest. You're like, preacher, that's a good place to go. Remember, he got the bread, the table of showbread. He got the bread off the table of showbread, and they were able to eat it. And remember, he said, you know, I left in such an urgency that I didn't even bring my sword. You remember which sword was there? Goliath. And you know, David made a comment, and he said, there's not a better sword. It couldn't have been that good. Goliath was dead. Would David have not been better to go in faith than with the sword of Goliath? And I'm looking at David's record here, and I find that David, we've got such a great account of him, and boy, he had such great faith. He defeated Goliath, but then he needed Goliath's sword to flee from Saul. What happened? Well, he fell. But he didn't have to. But he fell. I find in David's record that he placed his trust in the shifting sands of the Philistines. And he goes to Gath and he writes this psalm because he finally woke up. You say, preacher, we all have that time, but we don't have to. We all have times when we place our trust in something besides the Lord, and we don't have to. We all have times where we fall spiritually. We've been talking about having spiritual victory. Wouldn't you desire for 2021 to be nothing but a victorious year spiritually? I mean, that should be all of our desires. We should desire that, Lord, I don't want to fall. You know, one of the problems that we have as we climb the mountain? It's a further road down, is it not? It's a harder fall. We look and we say, well, you know, I don't really care a whole lot for icy weather anymore. I didn't mind it a whole lot when I was a kid. In fact, it was kind of fun. I remember even when it would we'd have just some terrible weather in Kansas on after school. You could go and you could play in the snow or you could play in the ice. And, you know, it was even fun. You'd, you know, do one of those numbers. Now, it's not that much fun. Because I'm going to do more of one of those numbers. and it hurts a whole lot more now. I could get Jeremiah, and Jeremiah still, it's fun to run and slide. I got to get onto him because he can take out a pair of knees out of a pair of pants, lickety split if you let him. And, you know, that's fun. But it's not fun now. And as we have that spiritual victory, and as we climb that mountain, what happens is the fall hurts more. But we don't have to. We don't have to have a fall. We can have an entire year. You say, preacher, I mean, really, all year. I know this is the last day of the first month of 2021. We've got a whole year ahead of us, do we not? Remember this time in 2021 or 2020, we really didn't know where we'd be at the end. We didn't have any idea about all of this taking place. And I know some of you had said, well, preacher, COVID was already here in the States by then. Yeah, but it wasn't here. I mean, it really wasn't a big deal. I was on board with the fact that every election year, there's some kind of catastrophe. Amen. Go back and look. There's been Zika. There's been all kinds of evidence that every year, there's some kind of panic. Because our world thrives on drama. Amen. But I look at David's track record and I find it's no different than ours. How many times are we charged up ready to serve God? And we see God do great things through faith. And then it takes the smallest of the pebbles to make us stumble. And we go run into the wrong place for refuge. But our life doesn't have to be full of spiritual ups and downs. The troubles are going to come. I told you a little bit ago, there's nothing that works without having difficulties. We're going to have some storms in life, but the refuge never changes. You see, we're still on that solid ground. We're still on that one that we can stand on, is that solid rock, the never-changing God. And we can have victory over death, as we find in the first part of verse number 13. But we can have victory over falling. Wouldn't that be great? I'm talking about stumbling. You say, preacher, everyone's going to stumble. No, hold on a second. May I tell you that God will show us every rock of stumbling in our path? That you don't even have to stumble over it. Because may I tell you, as we get older, now listen to me, babes in Christ bounce back better than the mature ones. It's no different for us as we get older physically. We don't bounce back as well. And so that stumbling, what might not have stumbled you as a child, you would have just bounced over that and just kept going. And today, you're doing one of those. Whew. That one about took me out. Now let me go back and see what that was. Oh, it's right there. Whew. Let's take care of that. And before you know it, we stumble it again. And so I look here and I find that we just need to take some lessons from David. David said, look, I ended up in the wrong place and I didn't have to. I ended up in the wrong area, in the wrong way, but I didn't have to. I'd like to give you a verse out of the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. And I want you to hold this in your mind. If you're taking notes, write it down. Philippians 1 and verse number 6. The Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The one who begun the good work. Hold on, what good work? We're saved, folks. If you're here today and you've trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior, and I know that people like to attach a whole lot of other things on it. Well, if you've done this, and you've done this, and you've done this, and you've done this, no, hold on. It's the place that you come to see that you're a sinner, and that you can't save yourself, and you need a Savior, and that Jesus is that Savior. You say, well, preacher, you know, they've got to understand all of this. No, they've got to understand they're lost on the way to a sinner's hell. Without a Savior, they have no hope of eternal life. And call upon Him, and He'll save you. It's that simple. We're the ones that try to make salvation hard. And so, if you came to that place, He's already begun that good work. May I tell you how precious you are to Him? The Bible explains to us the price that He paid. He went and sold everything to purchase you. Everything. To purchase you. Do you have any idea how valuable you really are to Him? How precious you really are to Him? Why in the world would He want us to have a life that we couldn't have? No, He says, I'm going to give you life, and it's not even going to be, I've delivered your soul from death, but I've also delivered your feet from falling. You don't have to fall. You don't have to have this stumbling. You don't have to have this time of heartache and the time of agony. And may I even throw in there the time of regret? The time of regret? Because as a child of God, when we fail God, do we not regret it? I don't want to disappoint my Father. I don't want Him to look down with displeasement at me. You say, preacher, I don't want the chastisement. May I tell you, just displeasing Him is far more grievous to me than the chastisement. The chastisement, at least I feel like He's gotten even with me. And I know you say, preacher, that's a bad way to look at it. Well, I paid my due. But when He looks down at me and I know that I broke His heart, can you imagine the pain that Peter had when he denied Him and Jesus looked at him? Why do you think he went out weeping? Because he realized the one he hurt. We don't have to have that. Notice this, I'd like to preach a message. I just simply titled it, He Delivers My Feet from Falling. As I look at this passage of Scripture in Psalm 56, I can't help but be reminded about the multitude of enemies. There's a multitude of enemies. May I tell you, we have a multitude of enemies today. The enemies were real. You say, "Preacher, do we really have that many?" And I know that there's people out there trying to make enemies out of nothing. But as a child of God, we have some real enemies. And I'm not going to give you the basics. I'm not going to tell you that it's going to be Satan, because we already know that he's our enemy. But I'd like to identify him as a person. I'd like to actually identify these enemies that David is having at this time and relate them to our life. Notice, if you would, over in verse number 1 of Psalm 56, the Bible tells us in verses 1 and 2, notice this. In Psalm 56, in verse number 1, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me." So I find here that it's day in and day out. It's daily. I'm facing this enemy before me every single day. Notice this, mine enemies, that's plural, enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many. There's the amount. Not only are they plural, but they're many. Now, Brother James, Sister Adria, we've been in this church before on a Sunday morning, and this we would call this many. But today I don't call this many that are here today. I call this few. When we've had some enemies and we've had some problems, we don't usually classify them as many until they're many. You understand what I'm saying? David here is no stranger to heartache. He had brothers. He was the youngest of them. In fact, we know when he had went there to the battle with Goliath, that Eliab, the oldest brother, had even looked at him and kind of in that condescending or that condemning tone had tried to say that he was coming in such a way that was prideful and malicious. And yet, we know that he would have grown up as the youngest. Don't think that he didn't have his share of times where they had thumped him a little bit, beat up on him, picked at him. You say, "How do you know that?" Well, because I have three boys. Jacob's 16 years older than his youngest brother. And he still picks on his youngest brother. Don't tell me. Well, but his youngest brother picks back. But don't tell me that he didn't know many growing up. And he comes to this place where he says, "There are many, and there be, for they be many that fight against me." Notice as well on into verse number 5 and 6, "Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. They wait for my soul." You say, "Preacher, who is this?" Well, I'd like to show you those without. There's those that are enemies from without. Go over Psalm 55 right next door here. In Psalm 55, I want you to understand those that are without. In verse number 3, the Bible says, "Because the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and the horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." In verse number 7, "Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness." Selah. And so I look here and I find these enemies are many, and these enemies are there and they're all surrounding. And you say, "But preacher, that doesn't answer who they are, and that doesn't answer how they're coming at me." Look at verse number 11. In verse number 11 through 14 of Psalm 55, it says, "Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel we walked unto the house of God in company. And you say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, I think about Saul. Now, I know that by the time David fled, Saul had already showed himself his enemy, but at first he did not. Let's just look at the biography of Saul for a moment and we consider him. We know that he was from the tribe of Benjamin. We know that his father was Kish. We know that he was head and shoulders above all. This is the first king in Israel. He went down in history. He obviously, early in his kingdom, had some traits that God saw as prosperous. Had some traits that pleased the Lord to put him as the first leader of Israel. And you say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, then Saul got confident, didn't he? Saul thought he could do it on his own. And you say, well, preacher, it's because he didn't destroy the Amalekites in 1 Samuel chapter number 15. That's not the only reason, and that's not really the reason why God removed the kingdom. Saul thought he could be priest and king. And God said, no, you can't. Because there's only one that's going to be a priest and a king, and that's Jesus. Amen. And so, Saul had an evil spirit come upon him. The Lord's spirit was removed, an evil spirit came upon him. But there was a young boy that was sent to play his harp. And every time he would play that harp, Saul would be eased from that spirit. It worked for a while, but over time, as Saul heard the songs about this young boy, he said, preacher, what songs is that? How Saul had killed his thousands and David had killed his 10,000s. It didn't matter how well David played the harp. Saul became jealous. He was king. Now, I look at this and I realize how good God is. You see, David was already anointed to be king before he was ever sent to the battle with Goliath. He was anointed to be king before he ever went and played in the king's court. You say, what's so significant about that? God was showing him how to act before the king before he ever became a king. Amen. God was already teaching him. God was already doing it. Why? To keep his feet from falling. There's some things that we go through, some areas that we have in life that God's already teaching us. And I look at Saul as this enemy. May I tell you that the first time he threw that javelin, David didn't know he was an enemy. He said, preacher, why would he throw a javelin? Because he was jealous of David and that evil spirit that came upon him. He wanted to do everything he could because he knew that the Spirit of God was off of him. May I tell you, you're going to come in contact with some that you're not going to know that they're your enemy until they throw the javelin at you. Amen. And even David had went back. And even David had went back. And even David had went back. You say, preacher, why did he keep going back? Because Saul wasn't just his king. He was his father-in-law. David had a place at the royal table. And David had a brother-in-law that loved him. Was a real friend. But his father-in-law was that one that he was in close contact with all the time, and there was a hatred toward David. May I tell you that every one of us are going to have that. We're going to have some real enemies. I'm telling you, Satan will use them to try to trip you up. Well, why am I trying to serve the Lord? I'm here trying to do what God wants me to do, and all I get is these attacks, left and right and left and right, and then what do? You throw in the towel. Or you begin to compromise. Hello? There's churches today out there that just, they might as well have thrown in the towel because they've compromised. There's pastors out there, there's church members out there that, oh, they might as well, it's just a little bit. It's okay. It's really not that bad. But may I tell you, they're enemies. They're enemies. I'd like to remind you of one that was so close to the Lord and yet he was a devil. You say, preacher, I'm not like that. Well, you remember Judas? Yeah, he walked with him. Saw all of his miracles. In fact, he was the one that held the money bag. Amen. He was the treasurer. And yet, Sister Woody, Sister Edra, I'm not saying a thing against treasurers, all right? But I'm telling you, Satan will use it to get in your heart. But it will. He was deceived with a kiss. You know, I even think about the words of Jesus when Judas had came to betray him, and he gave him that kiss on the cheek. And Jesus said, "A kiss? You betrayed me with a kiss." But is that not how the enemies work? Absalom, enemy of David, his own son. What happened? He began to kiss the hands of all the ones to tell him he would be a better king. Amen. I look and I think of all of these enemies that we have, and may I tell you, the enemy that we may have that's going to attack us the most is the one that doesn't come as an enemy, but comes as a friend. I look as well, I think about this vile world that we have. Where did he run? To the Philistines. May I tell you, they were a vile people. They were a wicked people. May I remind you that we live in a wicked world? This world, I don't care how many so-called Christian shirts they can buy and put on and so-called bumper stickers and so-called this and so-called that. This world is not for our God. They have their own God. And I don't care what you call Him. I don't care if you call Him self-worship. It doesn't really matter. It's the fact that He's not the right God. And they are our enemies. And I'm not trying to make this sound bad, and I'm not telling you we need to get out there and torch everything around us, but I'm telling you, I want you to be wise. They're not for us. They aren't for you standing for Christ. You can have a God. Hey, listen. You can go down 204, and there is I guess it's called a temple. This down Highway 204. If you're leaving this way and headed towards Chatham County, you'll see it on the left-hand side. It's humongous. It used to be a church called The Lake, which was just as much of a joke. But this one is a Hindu temple. It's Indian. You say, "Preacher, I mean, are they against us?" Yeah. They absolutely. Because, see, we only have one God, the God. They have many gods. None of them are a God. Amen? And this world is no different. It doesn't matter if they say they believe in the same God that you believe in. If they don't believe that Bible, they really don't. Amen? I'm not trying to draw the lines, but praise God, someone needs to draw the line in the sand and say, "You're either with us or you're against us. You're either on the right side or you're on the losing side." Amen. And we've got to come to this idea. We live in 2021. They know how to sugarcoat it. They know how to fool. They know how to deceive. They know how to make it look right when it's completely wrong. May I tell you what was so bad about the Philistines? They desired to enslave God's people. Sounds familiar today, doesn't it? I don't know where you stand, and I really, it doesn't matter a lot. Okay, it doesn't matter at all. But isn't it funny that certain people can say whatever they want, and certain people can't? Isn't it, Brother Jackie, you had brought it to my attention that they had prayed one day, and I think it was in the House of Representatives, and they had prayed, and it was amen and a woman, because they don't want to offend anyone. What they should do is quit being ignorant and educate people. Because amen doesn't mean that it's positive in man. It means that I agree with what's been said. Amen. I'm telling you, that should be offensive. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, hey, that bothers me. And who in the world was you praying to anyway? One of those gods that they went through a prayer. You know, we live in a country that says we believe in God. But here in Pembroke, Georgia, big town of Pembroke, Georgia, when they're going to have a city council meeting, if they're going to have prayer in that city council meeting, they have to call a preacher or someone from outside the council to pray. That no one in the council can open it or close it in prayer. Isn't that sad? But we live in a country. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We live in a country that is enemies with the people of God. They're setting up laws and ways to silence. I am not a conspiracy theorist, but just start watching. They're doing everything they can to keep us from having a voice for our Savior. Now, I'm not talking about pushing a political agenda. I'm talking about proclaiming the truth of Christ. I'm talking about being able to preach the truth with freedom of speech. Hey, listen, Joel Osteen, why is Joel Osteen so famous? I don't know how many remember the interview that he had years ago with Larry King, but Larry King, he said, I will not tell people that they're sinners. That was my dad. Well, listen, folks, if it offends you that I call you a sinner, then your problem's not with me. Your problem's with the Lord. And the reason that I would tell someone that they're a sinner, I'm not going to walk up, Brother Scooter, I've never met you before. I walk up and well, it's soon to be Food Lion. We're going to go to Food Lion here in a few weeks. And walking around, and Brother Scooter's pushing his cart and just minding his own business. And I come up to him and I examine everything in his cart. And he's got radishes in there. And he knows that's going to give him bad breath. And I'm going to call him a sinner. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Sometimes we try to look at people and examine who they are, and we like to call them names. But the biblical term for sinner is someone who's done contrary to God. Amen. I heard a lady the other day. I was walking into the Walmart parking lot, or walking into the Walmart, the hippie Walmart over in Statesboro. You all familiar with hippie Walmarts? They call them neighborhood Walmarts. I call them hippie Walmarts because that's where all the hippie people go. You say, preacher, why is that? Well, the world of yoga pants and just, especially over there, it's college stupidity. But I went into that because I needed in and out, and they do have better produce because that's where the hippie people go. Amen. And so, there's nothing wrong with eating healthy. They don't think that everyone needs to eat healthy, so they at the other Walmart they put lower grade, and at the hippie Walmart they put higher grade. I don't know. It probably just sells faster anyway. But I was walking in, and I just got past the door. And I heard in the parking lot, this person had said something to a handicapped person. And the one that was with that handicapped person responded to, you're going to go to hell for that one. You don't know how bad the preacher wanted to come out and go out there and let them know that, you know, honestly, he's not. They're not going to go to hell for that one. They're going to go to hell because they didn't trust Jesus Christ to be their Savior. You see, the problem that we have today is we say, well, you're judging me or you're against me. The truth of the matter is, I'm just trying to let you know that there's a Savior out there that loves you. But yet we have this world. Who do you think's leading this world? I know that we looked in Ephesians chapter number 6 and we've seen the prince of the power of the air. And we've seen that God is allowing Satan to deceive. He's allowing it. We have a choice, by the way. I'm afraid that the reason that we're in the shape that we're in today as a country is because we've had a choice and we've chose the wrong choice. And so I find as well, not just the enemies being real and that they're enemies without, but I find them within. May I tell you, we don't have to fall, but sometimes I'm my own worst enemy. I look at this and I find our direction in distress. We can all identify trouble, can we not? Sometimes we can see it coming afar off. And it never is coming our way. It's just we see it afar off and we're like, I don't want it to come my way. And so what do? We change course. I don't know where it was when y'all walked in, but when we got here, you could look off over this direction and you could see a dark cloud. I said, preacher, by the time I got here, I didn't really even see a dark cloud. That's what I'm talking about. Maybe it had even moved over that way. Maybe it had moved more that way. Or maybe it was directly above us. But what happens when we start to see distress in our life? We alter our course. Why is David in Gath? Because he altered his course. I know you're going to say, well, preacher, he had to flee from Saul. He didn't have to go there. You know where he went? to a place where he had to change who he was. You say, what are you getting at? You remember when he got to Philistines at the very beginning? He had to act like he was mad. He had to let spit run down his face. He had to act like one of them. I don't know that they had spit running down their face, but just think about this for a moment. How many times do we alter our course and we begin to act like the ones that are our enemies that we just ran to? Hello? I'm not trying to be ugly, but may I tell you that we often run to an area where there's not a need to run, but it's not the place of refuge either. And so I find that David, his lack of faith running to Saul, made David run to the enemy for safety. The one that he had killed. May I tell you, they didn't forget that. Remember, in fact, right before this time when he had went up there. They're getting ready to fight. Saul's about to die. And David had went up to the battle. Went prepared to fight on the Philistine side. And God spared him. Aren't you glad for a gracious God? God spared him from having to fight against his own people. And the other kings said, look, I don't want him to go because what if he turns? And they didn't forget that he was an Israelite. They didn't forget who he really was. But then you remember when David went back to where he was staying, it was at Ziklag, and he came back and everything was stolen. Everything was burned. His family was gone. His goods were gone. Everything. And the men were to the point they were even going to stone him. And he had to encourage himself in the Lord. What would have happened if he would have just encouraged himself in the Lord before the heartaches that came? And so may I remind you that so many times we're our own worst enemy in the fact that we change directions in distress, but then we find consequences for our actions. May I remind you that we reap what we sow? We don't reap it the day after we sow it. Sometimes it's years before you'll ever see it sprout. Sometimes you might not see it sprout. You say, preacher, you mean I can not see it? Oh, I'm not saying it's not going to sprout. But you might already be dead before you see it come up in one of your children. I think about Absalom. We had just mentioned him a few moments ago. But you know what I remember about Absalom? Absalom was fair to look upon. Absalom was very, I mean, he was, I wouldn't say clean cut because he had long hair. But, he had everything. He had everything going on. I'm telling you, they would have said, boy, well, look at that Absalom. He had a great reputation. And yet David loses him. Why? Because of the sin with Bathsheba. Now listen. We reap what we sow. You might not see it until your children are grown. So, preacher, what are you getting at? Then you're going to see it in them. May I remind you, don't be upset with me when you don't want to be faithful. I'm not talking about attendance to the house of God. I'm not just talking about being faithful in tithe and offering. I'm just talking about being faithful to the Lord in a daily walk. Listen to me. If you can't be faithful in the least, you're not going to be faithful when you're by yourself. Amen? I'm just cutting it straight. And by the way, your children know you the best. And so don't be upset when you're not faithful. And then you decide that you're going to get faithful, and then you see your children grow up, and they're not faithful. Why? Well, I'm reaping what I sowed. I'm not trying to be mean. We even live in a day today where you could say, well, you know, I didn't do all of that. I didn't do drugs. But that doesn't mean you're not going to reap more than you sown. Amen. Do you realize they've legalized cocaine in Oregon? Cocaine. You know, I'm telling you, if I was a seller and I was sitting in the big house doing time for selling, I'd be mad. I'm telling you, I'd be rip-roaring mad. Because you just legalized it. And I'm doing all this time. Well, I'm sorry, sir, it wasn't legal then. But that's the world we live in. I was bothered when the young man that had broken the church, we had pictures of him. They went over, they confronted him. He gave them the sweatshirt that he was wearing. And the police officers found marijuana. What bothered me wasn't just the fact that they found marijuana, but was their response. It's just marijuana. There's no such thing as just marijuana. There's no such thing as just a little sin is going to be okay. I know that I've said it a lot here lately, but God's just put it on my heart. There's no such thing as a little leaven, because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. There's no such thing as when we come, if you're really going to have victory, if you're really not going to fall, you're going to have to come to the place where you remove your own stumbling blocks that you know are in your life. Amen. Because you're not going to be the only one that stumbles over them. Your children are too. I like Brother Danny's illustration that he had with Noah. And Noah's leading because he's following God, and Mrs. Noah's right behind. And then you have Ham and Japheth and Shep, and they're all following behind, and their wives, and then their youngins, and their young. Listen, someone's going to get tripped up if you don't get rid of the ones in your that you're going to drop out of your pocket. Amen. And so we come to this idea that we're our own enemy. We're our own enemy without. Now, I'm going to actually stop us there, but I want us to see the awareness of the Savior over in verse number 8, because I don't want to leave you here. In verse number 8, and we'll pick this up tonight. Verse number 8, notice this. Thou tellest my wanderings. He's speaking to the Lord here. Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Now, we had to identify who the problem was. And if we would all be honest, we'd have to say there's some times I'm the problem. Amen. Every one of us have faults in our lives. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be critical with you. But every one of us have faults in our lives that we become the enemy, that make us flee to the wrong place, or we just go that direction. But aren't you glad that God knows our wanderings? Amen. He knows where we are, when we're there, and what we're doing. And tonight, I'd like us to continue on as we look at the fact that He's going to deliver us from falling. I'm going to pray. I'll offer a brief invitation. God spoke to your heart. I encourage you to come. But I didn't mean to hold so long on one point. And so I guess it's a good thing. Amen. Sorry. But we need to know. We need to know. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for Your truth. Lord, I don't want to say anything misspoken, but Lord, we truly need to understand. In David's case, he didn't have to flee to the enemy, and Lord, we don't either. I'm thankful that You've delivered our soul from hell. Lord, our soul's not going to go to death. We don't have that second death. But then, Lord, You keep our feet from falling. Lord, it's not something that we have to ask, are You going to do? But Lord, it's something that we're so precious to You, we're so valuable to You, that You're not going to let us fall. Lord, I just hope and pray that we'd come to that place in our life where we wouldn't choose to. Instead, Lord, we'd choose for You to uphold us. And Lord, I pray, take this invitation, Lord, use it to Your glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you would, let's stand. God spoke to your heart. I encourage you to come. Maybe you'd say, preacher, I know I'm that enemy. I know there's some times in my life where I get to that place and I'm just my own worst enemy. Maybe you'd say, preacher, I've got some ones that I've had some javelins thrown at me. I don't know how to deal with them. The Bible says mark them and separate. But I'm telling you, you need to identify them as an enemy. May I tell you that the day you have to change yourself to be like the others, you need to just go ahead and say they're the enemy. Because I don't want to change myself anything other than what God wants me to be. I want to run to the right place. I want to come to the right one. God's got a purpose. God's got a plan. We're going to have some trials. We're going to have some struggles. But I don't have to have spiritual ups and downs. I don't have to not have victory every day of my life. long as I live. Till the Lord tarries, I can have victory in Him. Thou deliverest my soul from death. Wilt not Thou deliver my feet from falling, and I may walk in the land of the life of the living. Oh, my friend, I'm thankful for God who allows us to walk because He holds our feet up and keeps us on higher ground. You don't have to fall.
Once I wandered from the shelter, just ahead I could not see the dark cloud so heavy with rain.
God spoke to your heart. Maybe you're here.
But He called out.
I'm in that leaping time. What do I do? There's a God in heaven who's going to speak to your children as much as He's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to your enemies as much. He can hold them back at bay when you reap what you sow. Aren't you thankful that God's going to hold you up and keep you from falling? He loves you. Never have to worry about.